The preceding program was a pre-recorded presentation of WUSB Stony Brook.
Another Monday. Monday, the 21st day of November, 1983. It's the day after November 20th, just a regular, ordinary day. I'm really getting kind of sick of hearing how it's the day after the film and all that. So we're not going to really talk about that all that much, maybe just a little bit today on the Chatterbox program, where we talk about all kinds of things with you, our listeners. In fact, every afternoon at this time, from 2:30 to 3:30, we talk to our listeners, and we talk to our guests, too. I'll give out the phone number in case you want to call us right away with some feelings on various things. It's 246-7901. And I'm Eric Corley. We'll be here for about an hour, doing all kinds of interesting things. And my guest for today is Mr. Chris Cook. Welcome to USB.
Thank you, Eric.
And Mr. Cook is working with the Suffolk County, what's the official name of that?
Motion Picture and Television Bureau.
Okay, Motion Picture and Television Bureau. Now, I, for one, as of several weeks ago, did not know we had such a thing in Suffolk County. How long has it existed?
Well, the Bureau, which actually handles day-to-day requests from film and television producers seeking information regarding the possibility of making films and television in Suffolk County, that's been in existence approximately 3 years. There was a commission, Motion Picture and Television Commission, which is basically an advisory panel, that was established in 77. And the Bureau has been working with day-to-day operations for about 3 years.
Mm-hmm. I see. Now, how long have you been involved with it?
I've been involved since last spring. I came aboard, and with me I brought a little different background in terms of being a little more oriented toward the independent filmmaker and video person. The Bureau is dealing with basically some pretty large operations, some pretty large films. And, of course, we're interested in helping them because whenever they do work in Suffolk County, they spend a great deal of money, which helps our local economies. And, in fact, the Motion Picture and Television Bureau is part of the Suffolk County Office of Economic Development. So basically, the film business is still very much a business, and we treat it as an important component of Suffolk County economics.
This is part of the county government?
Yes, it is.
Is that unusual for the government to get involved in something like this?
Well, in recent years, almost every state has established a motion picture and television development office. Also a number of large cities, and the most notable would be New York City.
Mm-hmm.
John Lindsay established a motion picture and television office during his administration back in 65. At that time, there was about $6 million worth of film production going on in New York City. To show you how much impact that office had, and of course they weren't the only reason, but since 1965, that dollar amount has risen from $6 million a year to $800 million a year worth of film production in New York City. So that really suggests that everybody has come to the realization that film business is very healthy for their situation, and so now there's a great deal of competition from states, cities, and there are a number of counties, of which Suffolk County is one of the few that has its own office to deal with that.
What famous films have been filmed in this county?
Well, it's interesting. Filmmaking in Suffolk County has been going on since the birth of filmmaking. The first known film that was shot in Suffolk was a film called The Hunt, and that was filmed somewhere in the Farmingdale area, and it was shot in 1901. So we have quite a history. Also in the early days of filmmaking, there was a bona fide studio in Bayshore. It was the Vitagraph studio, which was originally based in Brooklyn. They moved to Bayshore, and there was a small artist colony, or rather filmmaking colony there, and some very notable people were working on a day-to-day basis right there in Bayshore. They had a weekly payroll of $4,000, which in 1915 was a lot of money, and they had people like Norma Talmadge and Fatty Arbuckle, famous silent director Thomas Ince, Anita Stewart, who was a silent screen goddess. So quite unusual to think of that, but Bayshore was a studio in its own right as far back as 1915. Up to the present day, there have been a large number of films. The most recent film that we've dealt with is for CBS. It hasn't been released yet. It's from the Sidney Sheldon novel called The Master of the Game, and that's being shot in London and Paris and also on Long Island.
I seem to recall a film being shot in Stony Brook not too long ago, a few years ago, with Michael Moriarty or something.
I'm not sure.
I forget what it was. I think it was about a divorce or something like that.
Entirely possible.
TV film. Does count, or are you only talking about...
Oh, yes, yes. Another TV film which happened in Suffolk County not too long ago was a film that starred Valerie Harper, and it was called Invasion of Privacy, and that was a CBS TV movie, and that was shot in Greenport and Shelter Island.
What was it about?
Basically, it was about a young woman, a divorcee, who was trying to get her life on a new foot, and she was seeking the isolation of Shelter Island, which, of course, in the dead of winter, is very isolated.
True.
And when she was there, she ran into a lot of ordinary problems, but then also she was harassed by some local people, and I don't know the entire story, but it was basically a defenseless woman against the world kind of story.
They filmed that on that wildlife preserve they have over there?
I think portions of it were shot there. I know there's they use the ferry quite a bit in one of the homes over there.
Uh-huh. There are other films I seem to recall. Well, there are ones I've always wondered about. Someone told me that Jaws was filmed on Long Island, or was it filmed in Massachusetts?
It was shot in Massachusetts. It's ironic that a lot of films that it would make sense to shoot in Suffolk County or in Long Island, such as the Amityville Horror, were
they
shot...
They didn't film that in Amityville, huh?
No, it was shot in New Jersey, all three parts. There's a 3D Amityville.
Yeah, I heard about that.
They keep rolling along with those. But no, they were all shot in New Jersey.
Why New Jersey?
Well, again, New Jersey, along with Connecticut and Long Island, are all vying for the film production, which emanates out of Manhattan. And New Jersey has a very dynamic film commission. And who knows what the real reason was. It was probably economics. They could probably get their people back and forth to Manhattan easier, or there was some other incentive, of which I don't know.
Uh-huh. What kind of facilities could you have provided, though, if they did decide to go to Suffolk? I mean, I'm always curious about just... what the authorities do for filmmakers. I mean, how do they get crowd scenes, and how do they block off roads? Just how much are you willing to put yourselves out for the making of a film that you don't even know is going to be a hit or anything?
Well, the idea of a film being a hit doesn't really enter our minds. Of course, we're always very happy if something that's been shot in our neighborhood is successful. But as I say, any major motion picture, and I think the average cost of a motion picture now is around $15 million, when you get a production of that size, or even half of that size, and it's in your jurisdiction, the amount of money they spend is phenomenal. We had the Hamptons miniseries, which was a summer replacement program on ABC. Now, they shot out in East Hampton, and they were actually shooting for only about 5 days. But when they left, they also left about $75,000 worth of business with East Hampton. So when they called our office asking to have some assistance with finding locations, with obtaining permits, with getting police cooperation, we did everything we could to make things comfortable for them. So basically, our office is service-oriented. We try to cut red tape in terms of helping them find a location, helping them find services, and helping them get municipal support. And we can do quite a bit in that area.
Uh-huh. How far is too far, though? I mean, if someone wanted to film King Kong 3 and the Health Science Center, would that be, you know, a feasibility? Would it be possible to do something like that?
Well, there's a lot of things to consider in saying whether or not you could actually do it. But the fact is that when a high-powered film, when the decision is made to shoot it any place, people are usually very eager to get in on the action. And I think that there's really no limit to what can happen in Suffolk County, just as there's no limit to what can happen any place where there's enough money behind it and enough expertise.
Now, Suffolk County has quite a diverse range of landscapes. Could you describe the various types of topography that are available here?
Of course, the biggest thing that Suffolk County has to offer is coastline. Whether it's the Long Island Sound area, the Great South Bay area, or, of course, the Atlantic Ocean. Someone added up the amount of seashore that really exists, adding up every little bay and inlet along with the Sound and the Great South Bay, and they figured out there's 1,000 miles of waterfront, which is pretty hard to beat. Aside from our incredible beaches and water, we also have a lot of areas which can easily represent other parts of the country. We have a lot of farmland which can easily represent the Midwest. We have many small villages which are more New England than New England is. We have a lot of beautiful mansions which could duplicate the English countryside. We have some ranches out in Montauk which look like they're straight out of Texas or Oklahoma. So really, we have an incredible amount of diversity in Suffolk County, which filmmakers can and have used for many years.
You've got suburbia, too.
We have. I guess we're the home of suburbia. Certainly, Levittown and all the other suburban areas that grew up after World War II, that's definitely a big part of Long Island and Suffolk County.
Of course, they could manufacture something like that in Hollywood, couldn't they? Probably for cheaper than we do it out here.
Well, interestingly enough, right now the tendency is to use locations. It ends up to be cheaper in the long run for a lot of these uses. I know there was Chris Christopherson, Jane Fonda movie. I think it was Rollover, and that was shot in a suburban area. And basically, I think the tendency is to do more location shooting now than ever before. So we're in good shape for that.
Another film I was curious about was someone told me The World According to Garp was filmed partly on Fisher's Island. Is that true?
I'm not sure about Fisher's Island. I know that part of Roslyn and Roslyn Heights was in the film.
The theater, right. The film theater.
Right.
Passed that by a few days ago.
Mm-hmm.
The mansion in that film, somebody told me it was on Fisher's Island.
It may have been. I wasn't in the office when that film was being worked on, but it may be.
What other films within the last year? Are there any?
Well, as I say, Master of the Game was shot in Huntington Harbor and in Nassau. Death Trap was shot in East Hampton and Montauk a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
The Hamptons miniseries was shot in the Hamptons earlier this year. Invasion of Privacy was shot in Shelter Island.
Do you have any prospects for the next year that you can think of?
Well, right now we're doing some scouting for a couple of films that are being shot in Manhattan. One is The Pope of Greenwich Village. They've requested that we find them a run-down country inn. So we've been doing a lot of research trying to find the right run-down country inn for them. And also Cotton Club, which is shooting in the Astoria Studios in Queens. They have been looking for some locations in Suffolk County. So we have our fingers crossed that they'll be bringing some business out our way in the near future.
Uh-huh. Well, that sounds pretty interesting. Now, there is a contest now going on, which you are helping to coordinate. Would you like to tell us about that a little bit?
Yes. As I said, when I came to the Bureau, I came with a slightly different orientation. I've always been interested in independent filmmaking and video. And I discovered that there really wasn't anything being done to support or encourage Suffolk County independent filmmakers and video artists. So, upon the recommendation of the commission, I engaged in formation of a competition. And so what we have now is the first annual, we hope it'll be an ongoing thing, first annual Suffolk County Film and Video Competition. And what this involves is any independent filmmaker or video person may submit a tape or a film to us for consideration, and there'll be prizes given and public screenings. Also, a cable program will be put together to exhibit them, many things like that.
Could you tell us what the prizes are and how many there are?
Yes. Basically, we have five categories, and the prizes all together, lumped together, equal about $5,000 worth of cash and equipment. The first prize winners receive grants up to $300, plus they can receive duplicate prints of their work. They can receive various equipment and accessories, raw stock, things like that. And also there will be, of course, the conventional plaques and awards.
Uh-huh. Now, when did this start? When does it end?
We started receiving entries the 1st of October, and we are going to be receiving entries up till February 1st. And if anyone is interested, they can either call our office, which is at 588-1000, or they can write to me, Chris Cook, at the Motion Picture and Television Bureau, which is located at 4175 Veterans Memorial Highway, Ronkonkoma, New York, 11779, and we will send them an entry form and more information.
Have you started to get actual entries this soon?
Yes, we have. We have, at this point, sent out well over 200 applications. We've been doing publicity for the competition since September, and with every news story or radio program or TV spot that comes out, we get a great number of calls, and we have received quite a few tapes at this point.
Uh-huh. That's interesting. Have you been able to look at them and see what they are? Or?
Well, I've been taking some sneak previews myself, and it's quite interesting, the variety. One film by an NYU student was submitted, and it is basically a full-length dramatic story, which I was surprised to see. It's quite a bit of work went into it, quite obviously. Also, there is a Suffolk County filmmaker by the name of Christopher Gamboni, who is creating a film based on the centennial celebration of the Brooklyn Bridge, which went on last spring. And I've seen some bits of that, which look very interesting. There's a great number of things coming in, and a lot of people in the media themselves. I know there are some people at Channel 21 with some rare footage of the storming of the Soviet embassy over in Glen Cove.
Oh, right.
And they're interested in submitting some of that rather controversial work. There's also a film on Shoreham that should raise a lot of eyebrows. So we're getting some very interesting material so far.
Uh-huh. Now, afterwards, this will be available to the people. Will just the winning films be available to be seen, or will anything that was entered be available?
Well, the actual festival will be of the winning films in all categories. We're going to have a large public viewing in the spring at the new community cinema in Huntington, which is the premier art film theater on Long Island, and we will also be having other public screenings at Suffolk County Community College in Selden, and also we will have an extensive library tour. The library system handles a great number of films, and we will have regular exhibitions through their circuit. So the winners will receive quite a good deal of public exposure, which is what the competition is all about.
Now, this system comes to Suffolk County. Does Nassau County have anything similar to this?
Not to my knowledge. At least nothing emanating from their county government.
Mm-hmm.
I know there is a Asbury film and video contest, which has been going on for about 5 years. However, there are no prizes involved with that. It's basically one large viewing, but I know that that does exist, and I'm not sure what else is going on. I know that many colleges have their own in-house festivals, CW Post, Hofstra, and a lot of other schools are engaged in that sort of thing. But this is supposed to embrace both the professional and the student, and also just the amateur who does it as a hobby. So we're trying to be a little more comprehensive.
Let me just give out the phone number in case anyone wants to call up and ask Chris Cook a question regarding either this contest for filmmakers or films that were one day shot on Long Island or one day will be shot on Long Island. That number is 246-7901, area code 516. And you just mentioned something about various schools. Has the name of Stony Brook ever been brought up as far as schools that participate in filmmaking and come up with interesting things?
Most certainly. When I was organizing the competition last spring, I had a series of meetings with faculty and professionals, and two of the professors here at Stony Brook, Dr. Hartzell and Dr. Lissardi, both attended and gave some very good input. And they have been helpful in soliciting from their student body submissions of interesting student work and also professional work. So definitely Stony Brook is on our list. We're very anxious to see some good work come from Stony Brook.
Mm-hmm. A few years ago, we had something called the Educational Communications Center, which was geared towards video production and filmmaking. Unfortunately, due to state bureaucracy and stuff, it's pretty much gone down the tubes. But how have things like that been popping up lately? Video production studios. I know there are several around the island, but ones where students can actually get their hands on equipment.
I know that that Suffolk County Community College has pretty good facilities. And, of course, New York Institute of Technology, which is based in, I believe it's Old Westbury, they're going to be moving some of their facilities, creating new facilities in Central Islip, which is Suffolk County. And what I've been told is that they are going to be creating a educational professional consortium of facilities. In other words, professional facilities that will be used for educational purposes, but will also have a lot of use for professionals in the area. So I think that's something for all of us to look forward to.
What can the people of Stony Brook do, the students, to get a better program here for filmmaking? Because, in my opinion anyway, it doesn't seem to be nearly enough for the people who are interested in it. I know lots of people who are interested in filmmaking, and the facilities just really aren't there all that much.
Mm. Well, I don't know exactly what the right road to accomplishing something might be. It usually comes down to creating a lobby and becoming political and spending a lot of time trying to convince people that actually hold the purse strings to create a larger budget for film and video. So I don't know what the specifics of that procedure might be, but that's always seems to be what it comes down to, even if it's only a letter to your congressman.
Mm-hmm. Have you done filmmaking yourself?
No, I haven't. Basically, I have been a film buff, and specifically a buff of independent films since the 60s. I lived in Manhattan for quite a while, and I spent a great number of afternoons at the Whitney Museum, which has a fine series of independent films. And basically, I have been extremely interested in the process of filmmaking, been taking a casual personal study of the history of filmmaking, and I am very interested in getting into production at some point.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like you're definitely on the right road for that. Well, you say you're a film buff. What kind of films do you go for mostly?
Well, basically, the films that I really enjoy are usually European films. And I would say that a lot of the Hollywood films that come out are really not my bag. However, people like Francis Ford Coppola always come up with something pretty incredible. His one of his recent films called One from the Heart, I think, is one of the most innovative American movies to have been produced in a long time. It's set in Las Vegas in kind of a surreal, dreamlike atmosphere, and there's a lot of song and dance and comedy, but there's a very conventional romantic story behind it all, and the unique way in which Coppola directs the film really makes it a very, very moving film. So that's one film I'm fond of.
You don't think he overspends his budget at all?
Well, I don't think money is the object. I think to get the result is the whole ball game. He seems to be a man with a great vision who always seems to be able to get bankrolled one way or another.
How do people like that do that? How do they get it in the first place? That's what I've always wondered.
Well, they're usually pretty big gamblers, these people. I know his big success, The Godfather, followed on a big flop. Finnegan's Rainbow was a film that he did, and it lost all kinds of money. And he was kind of thrown the Godfather as a small bone. They gave him a very low budget.
Uh-huh.
And he managed to parlay that into a very glossy, big number production. And obviously, it paid off in more than anybody could ever imagine.
Looks like we have a call. Let's go to the phones and see who we have. USB, you're on the air.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
I was wanting to find out, is there any particular organization or group that you seem to work with better as far as movie industries go, like Paramount or 20th Century or anything like that, or is it all just a matter of whoever may come along and would like to shoot some sort of a movie on the island?
Well, basically, we have had connection with most of the studios at one time or another. Basically, how we are used is that a specific company, a specific film production, is either subcontracted by someone like ABC or CBS or Paramount, and the subcontracted production company will contact us. Been to Suffolk County, and they have been exploring the possibility of establishing some rather major studios right here in our backyard. Whether or not those will ever come to fruition, we don't know, but as more and more film production is done in New York City, it makes that reality certainly more feasible for Suffolk County.
Yeah, I believe at this point there, because it seems kind of interesting, I've been reading articles like in Variety too, that quite a number of producers are thinking of moving from the Gold Coast and sort of try to shoot movies around New York and New York City especially, and most probably also Long Island, because I don't think it was just too long ago, for instance, I think you'll recall the series of Kojak, where when they were thinking of moving out, I believe the mayor of New York City at the time, he really put pressure on the special newly created office to handle television and movie productions. They really did their best, which succeeded in keeping Kojak in the city.
Well, the city office has done remarkable good work, and that is the mayor's office and also the state office for film and television development, and really they serve as a very positive model for everyone. The current director of the state office is Jane Keyes, and the current head of the city office is Pat Scott. And both of these people work very, very hard to cut costs for film producers, because basically it all comes down to economics. If they can do something cheaper but with the same professional quality, and they can do it in New York City, they would be very happy to do so. And of course, in Suffolk County, our office, which is headed by Tom Hanlon, we seek to do exactly the same thing. Of course, we don't have Manhattan as a backdrop, but we have plenty of other wonderful things.
Just one final question. I promise won't bug you. sounds like probably a dumb question, but was the Amityville Horror, was that actually filmed in Amityville, or was that outside of the island? I think that was shot outside of the island, which to me sounds a little absurd, but...
Well, it's funny. Suffolk County and Long Island does have a knack for losing some of its most noticeable properties. And Amityville Horror was actually shot in New Jersey, and Jaws was actually shot in New England.
Well, Jaws wasn't necessarily about Long Island, wasn't it? About Massachusetts?
No.
Yes, it was.
Right, Montauk Point.
I didn't know that.
I remember the shark attack that happened on Montauk Point, because I was there at the time.
But where in the film does it say this is about Montauk Point?
Oh, no, it was in the novel. In the novel.
Oh,
was,
I see, okay.
Right.
I didn't read it. Right. Does that answer your question, sir?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks
for
calling. 246-7901 is our telephone number. And we're going to take a little break here and listen to something that was taped this morning. Concerning the film that was on TV last night, The Day After. And we'll come back right afterwards and perhaps talk about that a little bit. Again, our number is 246-7901. And here's Frank Burgert with some details.
The Day After, ABC TV's movie about the horrors of nuclear war, was seen in almost 7 out of 10 homes watching television during its period in 3 major cities. That word from CBS News. An estimated 75 million people watched the 2.5-hour movie that aired last night, with many of them gathering in churches and neighbors' homes. Network affiliates say their switchboards lit up with hundreds of calls during the show, with most of the calls to ABC's New York headquarters supporting the showing of the film. The White House says President Reagan watched The Day After last night for a second time.
Larry Speaks says the president's reaction was similar to what it was after viewing it the first time last week. In his words, this is the type of thing this administration's policies are designed to prevent. Speaks said that the political impact of the broadcast remains to be seen. This morning, WUSB News spoke to a couple of listeners of WUSB who expressed their opinions on the movie.
One of the scientists on it said it really didn't go far enough, so what could happen is that we will all die, and they really didn't go into enough detail. Some of the reports I'm hearing today is that the staffing of the hospital was out of order. Supposedly in Hiroshima, the equivalent thing took place, something similar, where there's only one doctor, and people didn't appear as they did, really. They had their clothes burnt off their bodies. It was considerably more horrible than was depicted.
In a way, we're so afraid of dying that we made it clear so everybody will go at once. Enough company when we go. I don't think it's a noble thing to do, but we've done it. It's too late now, isn't it?
I don't think that the people that watched the movie last night are fully aware of, you do need a little bit of technical training or a little bit of know-how to know exactly what was happening. Like, for instance, those rockets that the people at the University of Kansas were watching go off. I think if the people, the audience, realized that each one of those rockets had the capability of knocking out 24 independent cities, increase their awareness and just say, one rocket, 24 cities, not one rocket, one city. Because each one of them are MIRVed, multiple independently targeted reentry vehicles. 24 warheads, 24 computer-guided warheads. It gets to be mind-boggling when you think that the Strategic Air Command plane said to the general, there's 30 inbound enemy missiles coming. So you want to figure it out quick. 30 times 24, that's how many cities, were going to be knocked out.
What strikes me the most about war in general is that although people may be opposed to it, so many people can be led to be the willing hands of the machine that it can be implemented. People who set off the bombs are so willing to be led that they will let a death machine roll to the point where they will destroy themselves. And that's why I'm glad that this movie was shown, so that maybe more people could see the result of what they seem to be able to do so blindly.
Well, that's it. The fact that you can have an opinion about something like that prevents doing anything about it. Yesterday's reaction and tomorrow's response, you're avoiding that fear today.
The one thing that bothered me about the whole situation was that after watching it almost appeared like it could be viewed as another disaster movie, which we've seen so many of, and that's the one thing that I'm afraid of, that people will view it from that standpoint, and maybe it didn't hit people hard enough, especially after the interviews with the people, with Sagan and Buckley and all the other people. It took the effect away, I think, of the drama of the movie. And I think the movie could have been portrayed, I think it could have hit home more. Maybe even having the bomb taking place later and the events leading up to it, maybe having the president talk about how we don't want a war and then step by step how we're getting closer and closer, which is what's happening now.
Some WUSB listener opinions on the movie The Day After. I'm Frank Burkert for WUSB News.
Personally, I thought one of the most interesting things about that film were the news bulletins that were broadcast at the beginning, because that sort of made you realize what was happening and sort of related to what was going on now and what was going on in the film. Do you feel similarly?
Yeah, definitely, and I think it was kind of a subliminal kind of effect that it had, because you couldn't really hear what was being said, but it was all so familiar in terms of the recent crises we've had in the last couple of months, one right after another. It kind of gave you the creeps, thinking that you know, we're only one step away from the end of it all. It definitely had an effect.
We're talking to Chris Cook from the Suffolk County Office of Economic Development, Motion Picture and TV Bureau. You're welcome to give us a call. Anyone out there, is the number is 246-7901, area code 516. And talking about the film last night, what was the scariest part that you can think of?
Well, I guess I was always waiting to see the bombs go off.
Yeah. Was that the scariest part in itself?
I don't know that that was the scariest part. I think the idea that that society just totally breaks down is the scariest part. The survivors, no matter how long they live, everything breaks down. There's violence. Starvation drives people to madness, and you saw a little bit of that on the film. I think that was the scariest part.
Mm-hmm. That didn't scare me quite so much, because, you know, I've seen that before. You know, Lord of the Flies and all that, society breaking down, people turning into barbarians. It seems to be a, you know, common theme. I think if I had to pick the one thing that really sent a chill up my spine, that was the announcement that they were evacuating Moscow.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it's not a blatant statement. It's not saying the bombs are here. They're evacuating Moscow. Why are they evacuating Moscow? Because they know what's coming. And if they know what's coming, that means it's coming here too.
Right.
So it's kind of a step-by-step thing, but it's the realization that makes it all the more frightening.
Yeah. Well, I think it was very commendable that that ABC produced the film. I think it was really relatively weak and low key compared to the devastation that we really are facing with nuclear war. But I think it was a step in the right direction. Obviously, about 7 million or more people watched it, and I'm sure they were enlightened as to, yes, it can happen. Yes, it could be us. And I think that makes people think a little harder about where their politics are at.
What would happen if Suffolk County was approached with a film like that? Would we be able to handle a nuclear explosion or something?
Well, as I said, ironically, the portions of the film were shot in Lawrence, Kansas. And we have a great deal of farmland out at the east end of Long Island that looked identical to the very shots that were shot in Lawrence.
Well, I think for this film they wanted to be at the actual location that they were talking about. But suppose the film was about a nuclear explosion on Long Island.
Mm-hmm. Well, sure. I don't see why. Why we couldn't host something like that, as long as they didn't do too much damage.
What kind of arrangements do networks make when something like that is done? I heard that they left, you know, color TV sets in everybody's house, and that they rebuilt parts of the town that needed rebuilding, and they were very generous all the way through.
Yes, generally.
Is that because of demands made by the government, or are they just nice people to start with?
It's not so much being nice people as knowing that they have a responsibility to do things for their own public relations. A lot of the people that were in that film were doing it just for fun, if you can call being a victim of the Holocaust fun. But they did work for nothing, and perhaps they received, you know, a meal, or they got a little VIP treatment when the film was previewed in Kansas. But basically, ABC had a lot of free helpers there. And yes, they do realize that they have a responsibility to treat these people correctly. Mm-hmm. And that helps sell their products. So that's basically why they work that way.
You notice there weren't any commercials after the explosion.
Yes, I thought that was very tasteful. And in fact, I was going up the wall with all the computer ads that were going on in the first half. And I said, this is unbelievable. This is totally taking away from the reality of the whole program. The whole program would have been much more effective without any commercials at all.
That's true, but I think the reason they didn't put commercials in after the blast was because they couldn't get any sponsors.
That's entirely possible.
And I think they would have if they could have. In fact, network TV is like that quite a bit. All this commotion, really, in the theaters, it wouldn't really mean anything because the scenes that we saw there of, you know, devastation and mutilated people, in the theater, you can see that all the time. I mean, I don't know if you ever saw Dawn of the Dead, but that's one example of that kind of thing. The reason this made such a fuss this time was because it was on network TV, which is fairly innocent as far as anything really controversial or dramatic goes. Network TV is just, you know, fantasy island, real people type thing. So I don't know if we really saw such an historic event last night as it's been made out to be. Because it's been done before, it just hasn't been shown on that medium.
Yeah, I think you're right. But of course, the network does reach the most people, and so I think that just on the basis of it having been possibly the most watched program in television history,
was
just
it?
On that basis alone,
was it the most watched?
As far as the results are coming in now, it looks like 100 million.
100 million. I heard 75 million.
Right. It seems to be getting, you know, built up now. Of course, that might be more media hype. We never really know.
Yeah.
But evidently, it was one of the largest, if not the largest, viewing audience ever.
It's going to inspire a series, perhaps.
Oh, God, I hope not.
Let's go to the phones. USB, you are on the air. Hello.
Hello. Okay. Concerning the day after.
Yeah.
What I kind of think was definitely mild, I think it's kind of a tribute probably to that world of showbiz that can actually create a different world altogether and make it very, very real. I guess you can have a lot of pros and cons, you know, and the ability, I guess, for movie producers to actually create a situation and make it very, very real. I think that that's kind of commendable. Although I think it was kind of funny as a lot of people were probably watching at the end, NBC made that statement that, well, I forget exactly, I can't quote, but it was something to the effect, don't be too alarmed, it's not as bad as we depicted.
No, it was the opposite of that. It was that it would be worse.
Oh, I see.
Am I correct? Am I wrong?
I thought it said just the opposite.
No, I think the caller is correct. I think the statement actually said that the damage might be less severe than what you have seen. I think I'm pretty sure he's correct.
Well, if anyone else has any comments on that, I think I'm pretty sure that they said an actual nuclear strike would be worse than what we saw.
I think it said that it would be far less, which I think was a
far
joke.
Far less?
It would be less than depicted upon our show.
Well, it's possible.
Which I think was really almost to a point of being ludicrous.
It's possible I misread a word, but if anyone else out there has any comments, please come to my aid now, because I'm almost certain that's what I saw. Number's 2467901. Is there anything else you have to say?
No, it's just that I think that it's kind of commendable, but I do think it was kind of mild. I mean, I think still the classic is On the Beach with Gregory Peck. That, to me, talk about movies of movies. I think that was the definitive.
Yeah, I would agree with that, too.
Okay, well, it looks like we have another call, so I'm going to check out that call in just a second, as soon as it's screened. 2467901 is our telephone number. If you have any comments on either that film or the local film contest that we're talking about, which we will talk about again before we finish up today, because that's the main reason Mr. Cook is here today. It's 19 minutes after 3 o'clock, and you are tuned to Chatterbox. We're on for about another 11 minutes or so. Well, let's go to this call and see what they have to say. USB, you're on the air.
Kissinger was on after it, right after it, and he had said that it would be much, much worse. Not that it would be lighter, that it would be much worse in the event of a real attack.
Kissinger said this.
Yes.
Were you aware of what ABC said in their little words after the film?
No, I didn't. I wasn't really listening to ABC.
Uh-huh.
But Kissinger definitely said, oh, this wasn't even close.
What else did Kissinger say?
Boy, you know, I wasn't really paying that close attention.
Uh-huh.
But that I noticed.
Okay. Well, thanks for telling us.
Right.
So long.
So long.
Okay, we have another caller. USB, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. I'd just like to agree with you on at the end of the movie, what they said, what ABC said, and it definitely said that it would be worse, that the representation of the movie was less than real.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, thanks for coming to my aid.
Sure.
Okay. Do you want to concede yet? I'm pretty certain that's what it said, because it would have, if they had said it was less, I don't know, it would have sort of taken away from the whole film, you know.
Perhaps what they said was that what you have seen would be less severe than what would happen, yeah, possibly. That's so.
Well, we have someone else who wants to say something on this. USB, you're on the air.
Hi, I remember the thing they put on the air, and it said that it probably would be much more. It's exactly the opposite of what you said.
Uh-huh.
That the destruction would be much more than what they depicted.
Okay. All right, that is starting to take shape then.
I think that would be true if you think of what they could do in a movie as opposed to what they can put on television.
Well, how so?
Well, I mean, I think you could show a lot more violence. I mean, you're talking about that. I mean, they did show people being burned.
Uh-huh.
But they didn't show a whole lot of people who were very seriously injured, like Jaws or something like this. I mean, they could have gone. You could see that they could really make things very unpleasant physically to look at people and so on.
You mean graphic?
Yes, very graphic.
Uh-huh. You think if it was in a theater, it would have been more graphic than
TV?
Oh,
I definitely think so.
Uh-huh. Okay, do you think that's necessarily a better production if it's not graphic or if it is?
No, I think that in order to have all the children seeing it and so on, that it had to be done the way it was.
Uh-huh.
But I think the reason that they put the disclaimer at the end was that they didn't want you to think that it was going... I know, to me, sometimes it seemed as if it was sort of clean, you know? I mean, people were either killed outright or they were, walking around with these injuries, and it just didn't seem like... if you've ever seen the aftermath of even a car accident, sometimes it seems like people are a lot more dazed and a lot... These people seem to deal with it so unemotionally sometimes, you know?
Mm-hmm. They were wooden characters, you mean?
Yeah, I don't think the characters were very good, except for the doctor.
Uh-huh.
The rest of the characters weren't all that great. I don't think it was all that terrific a movie itself, if you could get away from the issue. You know, it's so clouded by the whole issue, it's never really been dealt with on TV this way.
Yeah, now was it necessary, though, to have real-life characters to make the characters really worth looking at?
I think if you cared more about the characters in the beginning. In other words, I think it was about an hour into the film when the bombs actually went off, and then you had another hour, an hour and a half of
uh-huh.
the destruction. And I think it would have been more effective if you had built up to it more and then just showed the bombs going off and maybe the devastation for just a short time afterwards.
Uh-huh.
Oh. You know, it's just my opinion. I don't know.
Okay, well, thanks for sharing it with us.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, we seem to have hit a subject that's very very popular here. I don't want to dwell on it too long because we do have to talk about the contest and Suffolk County filmmaking and all that kind of thing. Let's take one more call on this subject, and then we're going to talk about that a little bit more. And if people have questions about the contest, they're welcome to call up. USB, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. I'd like just to say that I called before and that I was misunderstood. What I had said was that the movie's representation was less than real, and not that what they said at the end of the movie was that basically that the movie was less than real and that it would be worse in real life.
I think that's how we interpreted what you said.
Uh-huh. All right. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Right.
It helps to make sure, you know, what you say is taken the right way. Let's get back to this contest for a moment. Now, the deadline, once again, is
February 1st, 1984.
Okay, now anyone who can make films, does it have to be a particular type of film, or videotapes welcome too?
Yes, the guidelines are very broad. Basically, we're accepting films and tapes in the following formats: 16 millimeter, Super 8 millimeter, 3/4 inch video, Beta or VHS.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives people a lot of different media to work with. The categories are also very broad. Basically, we're covering just about everything: information, sales and marketing, entertainment, documentary, public relations, and basically their animation. There's very little that wouldn't actually be acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
And we are encouraging as much participation by as many people as possible.
Is there any length requirement?
Basically, there's no minimum, but actually we are looking for tapes or films that will be under 30 minutes, because we expect a very large turnout, and it would be too strenuous for the judges.
No epics. You know, anyway.
No Cecil B. DeMille right now.
Okay, this person has been waiting for a few minutes. Let's see what he has to say. USB, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'd like to say three things about the after yesterday, last night on TV. First thing is, I personally feel that, like many other viewers, that an actual confrontation with the Soviet Union, nuclear confrontation, would be much worse. Second thing, as then was depicted last night, second thing is, I believe that the United States should have one more nuclear warhead that's absolutely necessary to deter the Soviet Union from starting the first strike. And the third thing, I'd like to request the Soviet Union that if they do decide to attack the United States, to drop one in my backyard, because I don't want to be part of the day after.
Okay, well, I'm sure the secretary will take your address and we'll forward it to them. That second point you made out was we should have one more nuclear warhead. Is that what you said?
Well, that's basic. My basic feeling is that I believe that the United States cannot have zero nuclear warheads, because I don't trust the Soviet Union. And therefore, I feel that we need at least enough warheads to convince them that they don't want to get into a nuclear confrontation.
Well, don't you think they're going to turn around and say we need one more because we don't trust the United States?
Well, then you pick a number.
Uh-huh.
And that's it.
Yeah, but everyone's going to want one more, and that's what's happening now. The number keeps going up and up and up. Where is it going to stop? Someone's got to be willing to accept one less.
The number goes down, okay, but then the same logic works in the other direction. If the number goes down, then it gets to the point where radicals in the world, like Khomeini and Gaddafi, can enter into the same theater.
Uh-huh.
So where is the winning point? The winning point is to never have one go off.
Uh-huh. Well, let's hope that we keep up our perfect record so far.
Thanks for calling. Not quite perfect, though, is it?
That's true. Well, as perfect as we can make it. Thanks for calling, sir. That's it for the calls today. We're pretty much out of time, but I would like to say a few final words about the contest and about the Suffolk County Motion Picture TV Bureau. First of all, I'd like to wish you luck in getting more films. Do you think you'll ever get a TV series, perhaps, a network TV series, be filmed on Long Island?
I think that will be coming down the pike at some point, maybe not this year, but certainly in the future, definitely. There's a lot of activity happening in Long Island City, new studios, Silver Cup, and the Astoria Studios, and I think before long we will have the same sort of thing going on in Suffolk County.
Long Island has a lot to offer. They've got Kansas wheat fields and
Gold Coast mansions.
Gold Coast mansions. Lots of things. And as it says in this brochure here, Valentino blazed across the endless sands of the Sahara, but he was actually on Montauk Point.
Right.
Okay, that's really something to think about. Montauk Point, what year was that?
1921.
Wow. Must have been nice back then.
It still is.
less tourists, though.
Right.
Okay, if people are more interested in films on Suffolk County, TV series, or the contest, who should they contact, and what's the number?
Right, they can call me, Chris Cook. That's 588-1000, or they can write to me at the Suffolk County Motion Picture and TV Bureau, 4175 Veterans Memorial Highway, Ronkonkoma, New York, 11779.
Okay. Well, thanks once again, Mr. Cook, for being on our program today, and good luck to you and the whole Suffolk County Motion Picture and TV Bureau. Hopefully this will be, I don't know if I want it to be another Hollywood, but it would be nice to have Suffolk certainly be recognized for what it is. Thanks once again for being here.
Thank you.
That's it for Chatterbox this week. We'll be back again next week, Monday at 2:30 p.m., to take your calls and to talk about things. So stay right here on USB.